Well, good morning. It is indeed good to be together. It's a beautiful day in here. It is beautiful time of the year too, isn't it? Well, I want to express my appreciation for the opportunity to come and to be with y'all this weekend. And I know that Joe had a big part in to do with that. And it surprises me that he still invited and encouraged you all to have me to come down. He and I, well, you all know that we're here yesterday. We won't go there. I wasn't sure what he was going to say when he said Ken had three good lessons yesterday and only had two lessons, the time to present two lessons. There was one preacher that was doing a gospel meeting for us out in Kansas City one time, and he's known for his long-windedness. And so he had preached an outstanding lesson. It was just very, very good. And he's coming back to the back where I'm standing at the end of the service. And I said, brother, that is one of the best series I've ever heard on that topic. That's what I thought I was getting from Joe this morning. Well, for those of you who were with us yesterday, we began talking about restoring New Testament evangelism. There's nothing better that we can do if we want to be effective in reaching out to the lost than to go back and see the way that God instructed and guided his people in the first century to do it. So what we did yesterday is went back and looked at the first century church, those early believers, and I put before you the concept that if we can look to the Bible, if we can look to the pattern, the recipe, if you will, and we can restore the New Testament church, we can use that same principle to restore New Testament Christianity. So we looked at the characteristics of the early believers. We looked at the things that they were doing. Some of the things we can't do. Some of those components are not available to us today. But many of them are. And God knows that some of those things that we cannot do. And one of the very obvious ones is miracles. They had a shelf life on them. They had a purpose for them. And we don't have miracles today. But those miracles, as we talked about yesterday, provided instant credibility for those who were presenting the gospel. It may take us a little bit longer to establish credibility, but we can establish credibility. A nation of God's own people who had been prepared for millennia, for at least centuries, to be ready for the Messiah. We can't duplicate that. But so many, the majority of the things we can duplicate. And so we looked a lot yesterday about preparing the congregation, preparing our own lives, preparing our hearts. And so once we get to that point that yes, I am convicted, as those early disciples were, the apostles, I'm convicted. I want to talk to people. I want to tell people about salvation in Jesus. Now what do I do? That's what we're going to be doing in today's lesson and in tonight's lesson. This morning, as you've probably already been informed, we're going to be talking about congregational evangelism, and I'll explain what we're talking about in that in a moment. And then tonight we're going to be talking about individual evangelism. So this morning, what can we do as a congregation to reach out to the lost? And then tonight, what can we do as individuals to reach out to the lost? As I told the group that was here yesterday, back in 2015, my wife and I moved to Springfield, Illinois. There was not a sound, faithful church in Springfield. And so we saw the need. We'd been looking at it for 8 or 10 years before that and couldn't get things put in place to go start a work. And we just finally decided we're just going to go and give it a try. And if it produces, then great. If not, we tried as hard as we could. And so I realized in doing that, not only could we have the opportunity to establish a work where there needed to be one, but it would give us an opportunity to try different things and to see, okay, when you don't have friends and relatives, when you don't have co-workers, when you're going there and there's nobody that you know to reach out to, how do you reach out to people? And so it's provided that opportunity for us. And so I want to share some of those things with you this morning and show you some of the things that we've done. You can, if you choose, you can give those a try as a congregation and see if they work for you. There's probably other things that we haven't tried that you can try, and feel free to share those with me. We're willing to try anything that's honorable and scriptural to reach out to people. But the Lord has blessed us. We started in 2015, as I said yesterday, so I'm sorry for repeating myself, but some weren't here. We started out in 2015 with five of us, me and Penny. Both of my sons preached the gospel. Our younger son was just finishing up a training program in Rogers, Arkansas. And so he asked if we would like for him and his, at that time, fiance, by the time they came, wife, to come and work with us. And so we were happy that they came on board. And then there was one man in town who'd been driving an hour to go to services. And so he said that he would be happy to start the work with us. So we started out with five people in our living room. And so we, some Sundays, we got up to the point that, if you'll give me a second, I'll get rid of this frog. And so there were some Sundays that we got to the point that we were filling up the living room. And so we went to a conference room in a hotel and we worshiped there for a little over a year. And we had the opportunity to move to a building. We bought a little building. I should have thought to, got something already. Thank you, brother. We got the opportunity to buy a small church building there. I should have brought pictures and put them up for you. So I apologize for not thinking of that. But we've been in the building since April 22nd. Well, we bought the building in November of 2017. We worked frantically remodeling it for a few short months. And we had our opening service on April 22nd last year. And so since then, the Lord's blessed us with a lot of visitors. So I'm really going to start this morning and going back to, again, the early church. Talk to you about some of the things that I did when I was working with established congregations. Typically, what Penny and I have done through the years is, and it's not that we planned it, it's just kind of the way that it happened, is we worked with churches that were around 80 when we went there, and we tried to help them evangelize, and typically we built up from 80-ish up to 110, 115, 120. And so I want to share with you the things that we did in an established work, such as you are, and then share with you some of the things we've done in Springfield that will also add some insight. I think one of the first things that we need to consider when we consider congregational evangelism is that we got to look at ourselves. That's sometimes hard to do. We got to look at ourselves and see, are we a working congregation and are we a welcoming congregation? So, you know, we can work and we can get people to come in, but if they come in and we are not friendly, we're quite quirky, you know. If Joe is just falling on his face and he's doing a horrible job preaching, you know, they're not going to come back. You know, that's just the reality of it. And so we got to take a hard look at ourselves. I was working with the church, and I won't say where. You could go back maybe online, try to find my history and figure it out. I appreciate if you didn't. but I was working with the church one time, and they were a smaller group. I think they were around 60-ish when we went there. And they were somewhat of a dying congregation. The younger people were going to the big church in town, you know, like in many places. And so we were just coming back from the Fiji Islands where we'd gone to start a work down there. And we thought, you know, we'd like to give this a shot. We'd really like to try to help them stop the bleeding and start growing. And when we got there, we kind of figured out what the problem was as to why the people were leaving, you know, and people were driving right past the church building to go to this other congregation, driving right past to go to this other congregation and so on. Why? There's got to be a reason why. And so I presented it to the elders one day in a preacher elders meeting. I said, just in that vein, you know, why are people passing us by to go to other congregations? We need to figure this out and we need to try to fix it. And one of the elders just about crumbled. It just, you know, he wouldn't take a look at it. We got to look at ourselves. If we're not willing to take a look at ourselves, then we're not going to be able to appeal to those who come and visit us. So we talked a bit about this yesterday, and I got so much I want to show to you. I just want to tell you, you already know, we got to do all things scriptural. First of all, we've got to follow God's pattern. We've got to preach the truth. We've got to worship according to the pattern of the New Testament. We got to be organized, but I'm preaching to the choir, so we don't need to go there. I think you've got all that. We need to make sure, so we jump forward a little bit further. We got to make sure that we are a warm and welcoming church. Now, you know what happens? A lot of churches, and when you look at surveys and you read data and information about surveys that are done among denominations, so, you know, the Church of Christ, and especially conservative churches of Christ, we're not on the radar screen, you know, so there's not any national studies that are done among us, and so we have to kind of look at the national studies and see how would some of this information apply to us, and in the national studies, almost every church that there's been research done in, they think they're a warm and welcoming church. church. And then when they do exit polls of the people that came and visited and didn't come back, they're not a friendly group. And the people are so, you know, surprised. Well, we're very warm and friendly group. We got to learn to look at ourselves from the outside in. We've got to look at ourselves. First of all, we need to look at ourselves as, how does God see us? That's the most important thing, isn't it? How does God see us? And then the second thing I think that we need to do is look at ourselves of, how does that visitor coming in the door for the first time, how does he or she see us? And until we get to the point that we're honest with ourselves and able to do that, it's going to be difficult for us. And so I can't spend a lot of time here. We got a lot to cover. But when people, as we talked yesterday, when people come in, they're looking for two things. They're looking to see, do these people love one another? Because I don't care if people are outside of Christ and don't know hardly anything about the Bible. One thing they expect of Christians is they're a loving group of people. They know that. And so they expect a church to be a warm and friendly and loving group. And so when they come in, and maybe there's church problems. We went and worked with the congregation one time. I don't mind telling you this one. It's Albany, Illinois. They'd had problems there. 10 minutes, the parking lot was clear. That tells you a lot about a congregation. And we came in and worked with them. We got going in evangelism, and the next thing you know, it's 45 minutes. It's an hour before the parking lot is clear. But when you've got that atmosphere that the parking lot's clear in 10 minutes, the visitors pick up on that. And so we have to do, let me just say this, and we'll move on. We got to love one another like we talked about yesterday. We got to love one another genuinely. And if there's problems, we got to fix it. And we've got to get back to being what God wants us to be. And so they're looking at you. They're not looking at, are you coming back and speaking to them? We talked about that. They don't want us to flood them. They want us to be friendly to them. Don't think that, just ignore them. They don't want that. But they're not wanting everybody to go back and swamp them. They want to see you loving one another. They want to see you being friendly. And so here's my suggestion before we move on from this point. Love one another genuinely. Be friendly to one another. We're a hugging congregation. There's one of the ladies that we just converted. And so when she first came either to our opening service or the Sunday after, sometime near our opening service, and she said that she was thinking when she walked in, you know, we're a small group of 20 people, and she walked in and she said, the first snake I see, I'm out the door. And so, you know, people don't know what to expect when they walk in the door. And then shortly after that, and I want to say this because I'll forget to say it, just the small things that we sometimes say can make a huge impact. She was walking out the door. She's told us this afterward. She was leaving and she's thinking, you know, this was fine, but I'm not going to come back. And Colton, my son, he said, well, I hope that we'll see you next week. And she said, okay, I'll see you next week. And then she said, I got to thinking about it outside. And she said, I just told him I'm coming back and I can't lie. This is a church. And so she came back the next week because she had told Colton she would come back. And she kept coming back. We had Bible studies with her and converted her. But shortly after she had started coming, she said, you are the huggingest group of people I've ever seen. And now she goes around hugging everybody. And I joke with her. I said, you were the huggingest lady I've ever seen. And so we got to be warm and friendly to one another. If you're not a hugger, don't worry about that. But we've got to be warm and friendly. And when we're talking, and so in the church research, you know, when they look at national level, they refer to what we all do in all kinds of different churches. They refer to the same people go to the same people every week and they start talking to one, and they call them the holy huddle. You know, you get this little group and they're huddled up and they're talking to one another and they're oblivious to everyone around them. That's not bad. That's all part of, they want to see, do you love one another? Do you care about one another? And so they, you know, that's good to stand around and talk to one another. But here's my suggestion. When you're standing around talking to one another and you see a visitor come in the door, don't be rude to the person that you're standing there talking to, the group. You know, keep on talking, but then say, excuse me for a moment, I want to go speak to the visitor. And go over and speak to the visitor. Just welcome them, thank them for coming, and then go back to your group, you know, or bring them over. You know, I'd like for you to meet Jim here, and I'd like for you to meet Joe, and, well, pick somebody else. You know, I'd like for you to, you know, and so you know, just try to make them feel welcome. And so sometimes we think we're the friendliest group in the world, but it's because we're judging it by our holy huddle, by our three or four people that we usually talk to. And the visitor isn't seeing the same thing we see. Let's make sure that we welcome them. Don't overwhelm them, but let's make sure that we're welcoming them. We got to make sure that we're ready for visitors. Let's be scriptural in everything we do, and let's be warm and friendly. And as Max Dawson says, I've quoted him for years, everything that we do, brethren, whether we're preaching and teaching, whether we are leading the singing, whether we're leading a prayer, leading the table, no matter whatever we're doing, let's give it our best. And this is what Max Dawson says. He says, in the Lord's service, good is not good enough. We need to live by that. Good is not good enough. We need to give it our very best. We need to make sure we're not putting on a production, but we're doing our very best. Our worship service ought to be top-notch and outstanding in a scriptural way, and doing everything scripturally from the heart to the best of our ability. And so if people come in and it's poor worship service, we may excuse ourselves and say, well, we're worshiping from the heart. You know, we need to do our very best. Okay. And that involves congregational singing and everything. We need to, when we're singing from the pew, do our very best. Now, as I said, we had our opening service on April 22nd of last year. And this is our visitors' cards from the community. These aren't the Christians that have passed through the area. These are all people from the community. There's somewhere over 90 visitors that we've had since April 22nd of last year. So how did we get that many people to come? It's not because we all invited our friends and relatives. We don't have any friends and relatives in Springfield. It's not because we all invited our coworkers. We don't have any, you know. And so I want to share with you through the remainder of our time this morning some of the things that we've done. And so I brought some of the cards that I can share with you. When we first moved there, we just took cards around. I don't have any of those, but I can show you another card that would give you an idea of the quality. And I think that I see here from the things that you do, you got to have quality. I mean, we're living in an age that black and white flyers shout, you are way behind the times. Everything we do needs to be done professionally. That's just what people expect today. In fact, as we were going around with one of those first cars that we handed out, walk up to this one guy, inviting him to come. We're a startup group. You know, we're meeting so-and-so. You know, talk to him a little bit about us. And the first thing he said, he looked down at it and he said, you spent money for this card. What did that tell you that he thought? Churches always are doing black and white, you know, or, you know, just a copy machine copy. And so we're not living in that age anymore. This is a singing that we're having this coming Friday night. Last year, before our opening service, we had a song and prayer service in which our focus was to praise God and to petition him to be with us in this new phase of our work. And we had people from all around the Midwest, all around the country come. We typically set up 48 seats. We're about 20, and so we're about half full. We typically set up 48 seats. We have 100 chairs in the building. We keep them stored in the basement. And when I say chairs, they're the very nice new style church chairs, if you will. We put out the whole 100 and we had 98 people come. So we had two chairs left over last year. So everybody loved it and they kept saying, we got to have another singing. I mean, people from other areas, you know, you got to do this again. But from my experience, when you do it this month and next month and next month and next month, people get tired of it. It grows old. So we decided to do a annual singing. So it's coming up this Friday. It'll be a year from last year. And so we're handing out cards to the neighborhood. We sent out, and we work the things, the work is so important. We can't just do things and expect people to come. The harder you work, the more people are going to respond to what you're doing. And so I sent out cards. We did two cards, I don't think, yeah. We did two cards. This one has the message to brethren, you know. Let me just read it to you quickly. The Christians at Springfield invite you to join us for an evening of song and prayers. This is last year's. I thought it was this year's. So this is last year's. Song and prayers. We prepare to work in the community of our new location. The focus of our prayers will be for the Lord's blessing and guidance in our evangelistic efforts. Your presence is greatly desired. If any would like to stay overnight and help us in work in the community on Saturday. We will do our best to provide accommodations for you, and then call with the information. And then we put a little disclaimer or whatever you want to call it, a further information at the bottom. We realize that some will be traveling long distances, so come as you are able. Late arrivals will not be frowned upon. People were coming from Missouri, from Ohio and Indiana. And so, you know, we had it at 7 o'clock. It's hard to get off work and to get there. So we knew some people would be a little late. So this year we're having our singing, and this is the card we're handing out to the community. Let me go ahead and share this with you. What I have realized, and I know that you probably realize it, or if you think about it, it'll make sense to you. You and I realize that today this is the most important thing that we can do in the world. There's nothing more important, nor there should be anything more enjoyable than for us gathering together to worship the Lord. Any of you ever see the movie with Dennis Quaid, The Rookie? Any of you ever see that? Give me a up and down if you've seen it. Okay, not very many of you. And so, you know, it's a story about the Texas guy that, about the Texas guy that he didn't become a National League player until he was a science teacher. What was he, in his 30s when he started pitching? And so at any rate, he's down in the minor leagues, and he's all discouraged, you know, because it doesn't look like he's going to get moved forward. And then he goes watch this Little League game. He's all down and discouraged, you know, they're staying in a hotel. And he goes over and he sees this Little League game, and he you know, it starts to dawn on him. He's forgotten why he's doing baseball, because he loves baseball. You know, and he sees these kids playing and having a great time, and you just see a smile come across his face. And he comes back, and the next morning, he's up to bat or whatever. He was a pitcher. And he says to the guys in the locker room, "You know what we get to do today? We get to play baseball. You know what we get to do today, brethren? We get to worship the Lord." We need to have that right perspective. There is nothing better than we can do than to be doing what we're doing right now. It ought to be the most important thing in our lives. But the people out in the community don't realize that. You invite someone to come, you know, you invite the waitress at the restaurant, you invite your neighbor, your coworker, say, "Hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" It doesn't mean that much to them. They don't know what you and I know. And so what we have started doing in Springfield, in the way that I came to this understanding, is we started finding out throughout the years that when we would have a gospel meeting and we would invite people to gospel meeting, it wasn't very effective. You may have found the same thing, you know. And so some people are saying the age of gospel meetings, the era of gospel meetings is over. Well, maybe. But what we started finding out is when we had well thought out, purposed, and then the preacher that we invited prepared themes for our gospel meeting, then we were having a lot more attendance from the community. And so, for instance, and this is the one that's very vivid, right after 9/11, some of you may know J.R. Brunger. Do you know J.R. Brunger? And so we had him come in, and he did a series on Islam. We had visitors, bunch of visitors from the community, because it was very relevant for the time. And so we never had that many visitors to any of our just standard regular gospel meetings. So based upon that, I've started realizing when we all are in, don't stop doing it. I'm not saying to drop it. But when we all are just inviting people, "Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" It's not that effective. But when you have a special series on family life, you have a special series on finances, I kind of hesitate to say that, but you have special series that is going to interest people, we have a lot more response. And so we use everything. We try to do several events a year at Springfield to give our members opportunity to invite people for a special reason. So this singing is a big one. And we're excited about it. I can invite you right now, you know, come on up to Springfield. It is awesome. We've got a building that is just phenomenal in the acoustics. And last year, man, you'd have thought the ceiling was going to come off of the place. And so there's just a great atmosphere. So we can talk about that with passion and excitement to our neighbors and such. And so this is a card that we already handed out 500 so far. We bought 2,000 of them. We're going to hand those out when we get back on Tuesday. We're going to start handing out again. But it reads, "Hello, dear neighbor. Please make plans to join us for an evening of song and prayers. We gather to worship and thank God for all He is and all He has done for us." And I forgot to mention, our theme is "Great is the Lord" from Psalm 145. Singing is a blessing given to us by God. It is designed to help us express our joy, our adoration, and thanksgiving to Him, and to encourage and build one another up, Colossians 3:16. It is one of the most enjoyable and uplifting experiences worshipers can participate. We will be singing in congregational a cappella, vocal-only style. You are invited to sing along with us or simply to listen. There will be no collection, just simple, heartfelt praise. Hope to see you there. And so, you know, we do events, and this would be one of them. We do events to give our members opportunity to invite people from the community. And so as I've been working out in the community, I've got a strong confirmation from three people already that they're going to come. And I anticipate that we're going to have several people, at least a few people from the community, come and join us. So what we were doing in the beginning, one of the things that we did, and you might consider this, as we started doing a thing, and I tried to think of a good name, and so I asked you, be thinking of an alternate name that we might use, and if you do it, you might use. We just started doing a thing called Special Topic Sunday. That's not too whole, thrilling of a title, but can't think of a better thing to call it. So we started doing a thing called Special Topic Sunday, and what we did in that is we went out in the community and we did a survey. And so not just me, not just Colton, Penny and Carrie, and anybody else go help us? I mean, that was at the beginning. But at any rate, go out in the community surveying people. And what we did is we gave them three choices. Told them, you know, we're a startup group. You know, we're wanting our neighbors to know about us and to come and worship with us. And we're going to have a special topic Sunday on such and such a day. If you were to come and to join us, which of these three lessons would you find more interesting? Which one would you want to hear a sermon on? Are we living in the end times? If there is a good God, why is there evil, suffering, and death? Or why are there so many churches? And so we gave them a choice and we let them pick. Now, you tell me, which one do you think the community picked? That's the one I would have thought. They picked, "Are we living in the end times?" That's the one that won. And so we chose that topic. But when we were surveying them, we asked them, now, if this is the topic that is chosen by the community, would you want us how do you want us to let you know about it? You want us to drop by and tell you? You want us to just drop off a card? You want us to send you a text? And would you believe that several people gave us their phone number and said, send me a text and let me know about it? Now, the way that I followed up on that is, well, thank you so much. You know, I hope that yours is the one that is chosen, you know. But I said, would you mind if we send you announcements of our events? We're not going to spam you. We're not going to be sending information every week. But every time we have a special event, do you mind if I send you a text? And they all agreed to that. So you start building a database of phone numbers. And so when you have the singing, then when you have the special gospel meeting, you have another special topic Sunday, you've gotten permission from them that you can send out text to them. And so that's the way we handled that. And so we did this. They picked the topic. And so we did door hangers. Not just to go back to the homes, but now to hand out to the whole community. And so this one says, "Are we living in the end times?" And it's got a little bit of information on the back side, got a map to where we were meeting at with our times and such. And so, like I said, everything we do, we've got to do it in professional quality. And so from this one was our first one. We had five visitors from the community, and that's when we were meeting in our living room. You know how hard it is to get people to come to your living room when you're telling them you're a church? They think you're a cult. They think you're a rebellious breakaway. You know, it's very hard to start out in your living room. But we got five people from the community come for this one. We did another one. This was supposed to be a door hanger, but the brother that prepared these for us forgot to put order the hole, so they quickly became door leaners instead of door hangers. We did another special topic Sunday. Who will go to heaven? Does everyone get to go? Does it matter what I do on earth? The crucial question is, will you go? And so again, got a little write-up about the congregation here with information. This is when we had moved to the hotel room. When we moved to the hotel room, guess what that was? It's an event, you know, and so our members, we worked hard. We did radio advertising. I'm going to talk to you quickly about Facebook, and Facebook is what has generated the majority of our visitors. But when we moved to the hotel room, we did a door hanger, come and see. And so just come and see. And then on the backside, hello, dear neighbor, please allow us to introduce ourselves. And we just told them about who we are and our move, that we had outgrown our living room. And so now we were moving to the conference room and so on. And we did, we spent $1,700, I think it was, on radio advertising. And we got one person. So radio advertising, I don't think that's the best use of money, but you know, it might work in a different area. It didn't work for us. So we didn't really get a lot of visitors when we moved to the hotel, but after moving to the hotel, we were there, and in 1 year from being in the hotel, we saw such an increase. See, what actually happened is we were going to go to the hotel temporarily. I was going to knock down some walls. We had an old, still have it, an old Victorian home right on 2nd Street in Springfield, 5 blocks south of the Capitol building on the same street. Our front yards are the same street as the Capitol. And so, excellent location, beautiful Victorian home. And so, we were just going to knock out some of the walls and make a bigger place. And when we got to the hotel, we started having more visitors. They didn't come on that opening service, but we do meetup. Any of you familiar with meetup, raise your hand if you're familiar with meetup. Okay. We started doing meetup. It's just a website for if you like to play the banjo. There's probably something on meetup of people here in the area that, you know, they meet on Thursday nights to pick and grin. If you like quilting, you're going to find a quilting group on meetup. So you can check out meetup. We do announcements on Meetup for our Bible studies. And in the first year after moving to the hotel, we had 33 visitors from the community to the hotel room. And so that was a good move. And then we got the building and we moved to the building. So we had another event, opening service at our new location. And this looks good to the community. Even though that we only have, you know, an average of 20, we can have as many as 30 people on Sunday. But, you know, to go from 5 in 2015 up to averaging 20 and sometimes having 25 to 30, we're excited about it. But, you know, this was it looks good to the community. You know, we outgrew our living room. That's progress. That's growth, you know. Now, we didn't really portray it to the community that we outgrew the meeting room, because we could have still fit 15 or 20 people, so we couldn't fib to them and tell them we outgrew it. But we now are able to purchase a location. That's progress, you know, and so it's looking good to the community. And we bought this old building, and $75,000 is all we had to pay for it. And so it had a big old ugly cedar tree growing in the front yard right beside it. It hadn't been painted for 30 years. It's brick, but all the trim hadn't been painted. And I told the brethren, I said, let's take our time. Let's not jump in there and just start meeting in it right away. Let's take our time. Let's work outside. Let's get it cleaned up. Let's paint. Let's landscape. Let's do all of this. Because what that's going to do is it's going to create goodwill in the community. Because I'm that guy. I buy the worst house on the best street, and the neighbors love you. You know, when you fix up that worst house on the best street, they love you. And so I said, let's work. And when we were outside working on the building, I can't tell you how many people stopped at the stop sign. Thank you for buying this. It looks so much better. You know, I'm going to come and visit when you get open. And so it created a lot of goodwill in the community. So anyway, we had our opening service, and this is the card that we did. And we had the door hangers that matched this. We had these cards. The good thing about these cards, they fit in your shirt pocket, so you can carry them and hand them out. Typically, when you order cards nowadays, they're 4x6, but you can order the 3x5. It fits in your shirt pocket, so keep that in mind. And so, again, just had a write-up about us moving to the church building. And so all of that, and there's more things. Let me share this with you before we move on from that. What we started doing, so we had our opening service, and on our opening service, Penny, it was 22 people, wasn't it? 22. We had 22 people from the community come to our opening service. And so we were excited about that. But we had already pre-planned, what are we going to do to get them to come back the next Sunday? We don't want them just to come to opening service. We want them to keep coming back. And so what we decided to do is we started a series that would begin that next Sunday afterwards. And we called it Pick a Topic Sunday. And so we had these cards printed up called Pick a Topic Sunday. It's much like Special Topic Sunday. But what we did is for the whole summer, we let the community pick our sermons. Now, you would think, what are you guys doing? Are you caving? You know what? No. If there's a good scriptural topic, we let them pick. Now, we just did this for a period of time. Now, there's things we want to preach. There's things that people need to know. But what this did in the mind of the community is not, you know, that we're going to tell you what we want you to know. It was, these people care about what we have questions about. They want to help us in our understanding. And so let me tell you how that worked. We didn't go out campaigning and such. We just gave cards to people and said, you know, when you meet someone, just tell them what we're doing. We're doing a special pick a topic a Sunday series. And if you come, what would you like to hear a lesson about? So the first one, I pulled up into the car wash and I rolled down the window. Before the car wash started, I rolled down the window and I asked the guy that was there, you know, guiding you in. I told him who it was and what we were doing. I said, what would you like to hear a sermon about? And he said, well, I'd like to hear a sermon about the Bible. Okay. You know, I said, what do you have in mind? He said, you know, where did the Bible come from? How did we get the Bible? Boom. You gonna preach on that, Joe? I mean, nobody even has to ask you. You know, and then we had one gal asked to hear a lesson on abortion, another wanted to hear about tithing, another wanted to hear about how to maintain relationships. You know, do families have problems? Do coworkers have problems? What's God's instructions on how we get along with one another? I mean, we were getting all these great topics. In fact, there were only two or three that I had to tell the people, well, that's not what we're doing, you know, because they wanted to be political, you know, one guy wanted to hear a lesson about how should Christians view Trump. You know, that's not exactly what we're planning to do here, you know. But you would be surprised. 80% of the people, maybe 90%, but 80% of the people that I asked about Special Topic Sunday, I mean, within 4 or 5 seconds, they're telling me what they wanted to hear a lesson about. And the things that I told you was the quality. I mean, I told Colton, I said, man, as long as they keep giving us topics like this, we'll just be the Pick a Topic Sunday church in town. You know, we're getting all these excellent topics. And so that's another thing that we did. And along with this, we've done a lot of work on Facebook, and we spend a lot of money on Facebook. Facebook is tremendous in the rate of return that you get of exposure to the community and people that come to services. Just hands down, it's the best advertising dollar that we have found. And so each Sunday, what we were doing is we put on Facebook, you know, we've got a Facebook page called Springfield Christians. Go ahead and check it out. And so each Sunday we were putting on, you know, the Pick a Topic Sunday. And this week's lesson comes from Joe, you know. Joe, you got that name, don't you? And so it comes from Joe, who'd like to hear a lesson about how did we get the Bible? You know, and so we just do a little bitty write-up about, you know, what we plan to do in that sermon, you know, and so that's what we did with this. So we try to do special events that give our members a reason to invite people, more than just come to church with me on Sunday. And so that is not nice. In the 4 years that we've been there, but just since April 22nd of last year, we've had over 90 visitors from the community. And so we have done door-to-door work, we have done Facebook, we've done Meetup, we've done the Special Topic Sundays, and sitting in our auditorium are people that someone from another area told us about, They said, hey, I've got a relative that lives there. It's a distant relative, but I've seen them at some of our family reunions. And they told us their name and their address. We went out and visited them. They came to services. They had to come for a while. I asked them for a Bible study 2 or 3 weeks into it. And they said, no, we're just going to visit and see who you guys are. We're meeting in our living room, you know, so, you know, they're still quite suspicious. And after a few weeks, they agreed to Bible study. They're two of our strongest members now. They came from a referral. We have one lady in our auditorium, the one you're the huggingest people we've ever seen. She came from our door-to-door work on our opening service. She had found a card on our door, and so she came. So we baptized her. One fella is a member now from Meetup, from our advertising on Meetup. We do a Thursday night. We don't do a midweek study like most churches do. You know, maybe you come together and you know, you meet in the auditorium and sing a song, and then you go to your class, you come back out, and you have an invitation. All good and fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm not a non-traditionalist, so don't think that we are in Springfield. But we do a Thursday night study, and it's more of a reach out to the community study. Every topic that we pick, because we're an infant church, every topic that we pick is, how is this going to appeal to the community? Is this something that they're going to be interested in? We're trying to get people to come in to learn the Bible and also to build that relationship and to sit down across the table and have a study. One study we did on Thursday nights, and we advertised it heavily on Meetup and Facebook, so I don't remember how many came from each one of those, probably mostly from Facebook. We did a 13-week series, and we usually don't do a series that long. We did a 13-week series on resisting Satan. I would not have thought we had 14 visitors from the community for that 13-week study. And so so once again, we're just, all of that we do, we're trying to reach out to the community. Now, I've only got a couple minutes left, so let me tell you quickly about Facebook. Facebook, we spend a lot of money on. I have a congregation. I'm fully supported outside. Got several congregations that are supporting me. And one congregation said, Ken, do you think you could use $500 a month in advertising to help reach out for the church up there? No, don't need it. Yes, I could use 500. Did I say 5,000 or 500? I could. Yes, we could use 500. So they're sending the support to me. They're not sending it to the church. It's not an unscriptural arrangement. But they know, and I know, this 500 is set aside for advertising. So we have a $500 a month budget for advertising. We spend the bulk of that on Facebook. Again, we do videos. Just go onto our Facebook page, Springfield Christians, not Christians, Springfield Christians, and you'll find us. We do videos, we do posts, and we have gotten up to like our recent post that just ended on, I think it was on our singing that we're doing. We reached close to 6,000 people. It reached out to 6,000 people in the community. We had somewhere around 200 reactions. Our biggest one, I think, so far, it was on baptism. I was doing a lesson on our Thursday night study on, is baptism necessary? And they came out of the woodworks on that one. We had somewhere around 12,000 reach. And we had about 150 comments on it, and we did have one or two people came from the community for that Bible study. And so, you know, if I were to tell you, you start to you know, quiz or interrogate, you know, well, how many did you get from this one? We didn't get anybody. How many did you get from this one? We didn't get anybody on that one either. How many did you get from this one? We didn't get any. Okay, you had 90-something visitors. How many of you baptized? Last year we baptized 4 people, so you know that's not a lot from 90-something people. But my point is you can't just try this. This is what churches do. They try something, they do it once, and it didn't work. We didn't get anybody, so it doesn't work. You can't do it that way. You got to create a presence. We have over 2,000 followers on our Facebook page now, and the majority of those are from Springfield. It's not from brethren around the country. We've got maybe 400 brethren. The rest of those are in Springfield. So everything we post now, you know, will go to them. And when we do special events and we can send messages to them, I'd like to talk to you a lot more about that. But if you have questions, I'll be glad to talk to you about Facebook. It's been a very good friend to us in our work. So much more I'd like to tell you about, but I know that clock, they probably haven't rang the bell just because they're being friendly to me. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. We have 4 bedrooms in Springfield, and we're using one of them. Come up and visit us. Come work in the community with us. Come interrogate me. I'll be glad to answer any questions to try to help you out in your work. We want to do anything we can to help our brethren and to help people be saved. Thank you.